There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. This is Dubai Today.
Broadcasting from the Renaissance Downtown Hotel, Dubai. It's business unusual.
Only on DubaiEye1038.
Yes, hello and welcome to Dubai Today, broadcasting live from the Renaissance Downtown Hotel Dubai. And what a show we've got for you today. One of the world's foremost chefs, a man instrumental in making sushi hugely popular in the United States of America, a master of Japanese cuisine who has more than 12 restaurants to his name, Masaharu Morimoto. He is finally bringing his signature style to Morimoto Dubai, right here at the Renaissance Downtown. I sat down with the Iron Chef himself for a delightful interview, which we'll share with you next. And we'll also be speaking to Gilles Perrin, Director of Culinary, as well as Chef de Cuisine Mohamed Al-Shamali, who will be heading up the new Middle Eastern style Brasserie Bahar. It's a theme of new beginnings today at the Renaissance Downtown. I'm joined by Stuart Kennedy.
Like a guy.
Yes, we are getting a new sensation here at the Renaissance downtown Dubai as we broadcast from the 21st floor, which has stunning views of the city. Stuart Kennedy, you are here with me at the Renaissance downtown. Hello, welcome.
Hello, Sally.
How fabulous is this?
This is lovely, isn't it? And you know, a new show, new times, new host. This is brilliant. This is fantastic. It's all new beginnings. It's brilliant.
It is. It is all about new beginnings, but phenomenal views. I'm just loving looking out onto the city from the 21st floor here at the Club Lounge. We've got in front of us an amazing cake that was presented earlier to our crew. How fabulous is that?
It's very retro. It's for all those youngsters out there that don't know what it is. It's a phonograph, or as we would call it, a record player.
Record player, yes, with Dubai Eye Renaissance Dubai Downtown on it. But it was made by Ashik, the chef who works here. Just gorgeous, beautiful attention to detail, loving that so much. But bringing the old back into the new.
I'm surprised that Mark Lloyd hasn't tried to play a record on this. He has got an amazing vinyl collection, so keep Mark Lloyd away from this.
He's on next, so yeah. Don't worry, it is going to happen.
Maybe I should eat the cake before he comes on.
We're going to be tucking into that, but a lot of delicious food today on the show. We're going to be visited by the chef de cuisine, Mohammed El-Shamali. He's heading up the new Middle Eastern brasserie here, Bahar, which means spice.
Ah, is he bringing stuff for us to try?
He is bringing stuff for us to try, so we're really excited about that.
I am really
too.
Liking this show.
Exactly. It's going to be brilliant. But someone who's got an incredible story to tell when it comes to renewal, transformation, is the Japanese Iron Chef himself, Masaharu Morimoto. Do you know about Morimoto?
No, I don't really know much about him. I'm really looking forward to hearing the interview.
Incredible. He is really a master chef. I know that gets bandied around a lot, but he is properly a master chef, one of those responsible for making sushi popular around the US. And he's chosen Dubai to open his latest restaurant with 12 others around the world in cities including New York, Philadelphia, Delhi, New Delhi, Mumbai, so many places, Orlando in Florida. And I sat down with him last week and I asked him where his love of sushi came from and why he decided to be a chef.
I have two major dreams. So one is I want to be the professional baseball player. So because my hometown, Hiroshima, has the professional baseball franchise team called Hiroshima Cubs. And I was pretty good. So when they almost picked me up the draft. Okay, give me your hand on my shoulder, okay?
Your shoulder clicks. Oh my goodness, I can hear it too.
You can hear it like this.
Oh wow. Is this an injury that stopped you from doing it?
Then I gave up the one of major dream as the be the baseball. And then exactly the same, you know, level desire to be the sushi chef.
And so that's where it all started.
Yes, because the so my family is not wealthy, you know, it's a poor family. And then Japan, we had the payday once a month. My father spent the whole thing, they came back to the zero. And then, you know, fighting almost every day, he's drinking. So my family is not happy. So every single my friends going out to eat, travel, vacations, you know, like vacances. So, but we couldn't. But still, one or two times a year, you know,
to used to go out to eat together.
Yes. So following the law, first, you know, we catch the coffee shop. Okay, my parents got the coffee, and then me and my young sister got the parfait, chocolate parfait, you know, chocolate sundae, fruits parfait.
That would have felt very special.
Right. And then went to the sushi restaurant next. Usually opposite, right? So go sushi restaurant and then eat parfait. But we don't know anything.
You did it the other way around.
Following road. Then when I got the sushi restaurants, and then sushi restaurants atmosphere very cool. And the sushi man, white hat, white shirts, movement, long knives, very cool movements. Then sushi was great and tasty. So when I was little, but more than that, it's atmosphere. We are very happy.
You were very happy.
Yes.
A family that was in turmoil.
Yes.
But
one
or two times a year, you used to go there and just feel happy.
Wow.
It's the way that food brings people together, isn't it?
Right. That's why I decided to be the sushi chef. Wow. Not the sushi, that's my memory from my kids, is happy. So sushi equal happy to me. So that's why I decided how can I make everybody happy with the sushi.
You just decided?
Yeah, because only two measures.
And that's it. And you decided that that's what you were going to do.
Right.
So, I mean, you can see he was pretty focused from the very beginning. Amazing to think you had two options, a baseball player or a sushi chef.
Yeah, he kind of knew what he wanted to do at a very young age, didn't he? Not many people are that focused.
No, exactly. And, you know, when you talk to him, when you hear about his reputation, first of all, you just think, oh my goodness, it's going to be this really stern, very disciplined kind of guy. But he is just so, you know, he's joyful. He's just so fun-loving, and he loves to joke around. He's charming. So it was just really interesting to see that kind of a contrast of what you imagine he's going to be like and what he actually is. But like you said, you know, it's one of those things where you think, okay, this particular profession that I'm seeking isn't going to work out. I'm going to go and do something else completely different.
Yeah, it does sound like he's happy with his work. He's happy with his job. He loves his job. So I think if you are happy in the vocation you've decided to pursue, I think it comes through in life in general. Because, you know, like probably nearly half the time you spend alive is at work.
Exactly.
From the age of 18 onward to the age of 65, you know. So if you find something that you enjoy doing, it's going to make a difference in your life.
Have you always known what you wanted to do, Stuart, in your life?
Well, it's funny you asked me that. I don't know whether this is the reason I was asked on today, but I actually changed my career when I was 43 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I know I look 35 and I didn't become a time traveler.
That was my wow. But it was about how young you look.
No, I was working in infrastructure within events for places in the UAE. And I was running an air conditioning and power company.
I cannot imagine you doing that.
To be honest, I think those people can't imagine me doing that anymore either. But I started off, when I first came over here, I've had a couple of career changes. Really, from the age of 18, I've been involved in courier and distribution and logistics and operations. So that was my kind of forte. I did that really in one guise or another from 18 to 38. So I did 20 years of that.
You had a real brain for organization?
Believe it or not, yes.
Wow.
Yes, I know I only turned up 5 minutes before the show, but that's because I'm confident in what we can do. No, it is, yeah. I'm actually a really good problem solver, and that's where I kind of enjoy stuff. And if someone gives me a problem, I can sort it out and, you know, find a way around things. I had a courier company in the UK with three other friends, and we would distribute globally, and we would the fun bit would be finding how to get a certain item to a certain country, etc. And it was really good. We had lovely customers. Then I moved out here, and I started a job in a tent company, a structure company, and in operations and logistics. And again, apart from the physical side of being a man, you want to build things with your hands and building these.
It's manly to build.
It is, and when you're building like 2,000 square meter tents and you're putting them up in like 2 days, it's like
it's a challenge.
It's like proper Lego, man Lego. It's really, really
grown up Lego. Yeah,
it is, and it was really good. And then when I started with the air conditioning and power company, I just I loved it, and then I kind of fell out of love with it a little bit. In the last 6 months there, I kind of lost myself a little bit. And I was unhappy. Going to work every day, I was unhappy. And they were long days. They were 12-hour days, 13-hour days, and they were 7 days a week. And I just remember I didn't like getting out of bed to go to work. And so I just decided, no, that's it. I can't do this. This is what I'm doing every day. I can't be unhappy doing it.
And so you decided to?
I decided just to do my singing, my hosting, emceeing, and that's what happened. I just took the step.
It's not, you know, that's just, it's an amazing turnaround, but you just followed your passion, you followed your dreams, and you just went, that's it, I just want to do something that's going to make me get up in the morning.
Yeah, well, or it gets me to bed at 3 a.m. I get up in the afternoon mainly, but
something that you really love. And we are broadcasting here live from the Renaissance downtown Dubai. You're listening to Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Broadcasting from the Renaissance Downtown Hotel, Dubai. It's business unusual.
This is Dubai Today, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yes, we are back here at the Renaissance downtown Dubai with spectacular views of the city that we are looking out to today from the club lounge on level 21. Stewie, we've got an interesting topic that we're talking about today. It's all about, you know, making that change, doing something completely different, just dropping everything. Almost.
It's a big step.
It's a big step.
It's a big scary step, I can tell you.
I mean, you know, what went through your mind? Were you afraid when you made that career change?
Totally. Absolutely.
And what did it for you?
Basically, I kind of sat down and went, okay, what's the minimum I need to do? What's the minimum I need to make ensure I get every month to make sure I can still live and then sort of like build it up from there? I was already doing part-time gigs and I was getting lots of offers of stuff. So that kind of made me a little bit more confident about taking the step. But taking that step from getting that regular salary coming in every month and doing stuff on the side, which was extra bonus money, and it's quite well paid out here in Dubai as well compared to stuff like the UK. And then I just kind of went, okay, I've got to do it. It's now or never. It was the same for me for moving out here. When I've always wanted to live outside the UK, but I was quite comfortable because my courier company just started doing okay, quite well. We'd done all the hard work. I was 38, and my fiance at the time, she wanted to move out here. She hated the fact there was no decent beaches, not the sun was different. And I thought, you know, I've wanted to do this forever, and maybe this is the push I need. And I thought, two of my really best friends were in Dubai anyway, so it was like, okay, we've got support structure, we've got this, let's just do it. And it was one of those, I'm doing it. And I got on a plane.
All the stars are in alignment. It's it. That, you know, you had nothing else to kind of give you an excuse to hold you back, which is...
Yeah, I'd run out of excuses, yeah.
Which is
100%
great.
100% right.
I mean, a lot of... you think of a lot of celebrities who have done the same thing. Arnold Schwarzenegger comes to mind as somebody who has not just once, but twice, changed his career dramatically.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger, again... like our chef friend, was very, very focused. He wanted to be a bodybuilder at a very young age. He wins 7 Mr. Olympia titles. And then he goes into movies. And you kind of think, you know, I think his first movie was Hercules. Mm. Hercules in New York in 69, I think it was. And then he moved on. He was doing little bits and bobs for TV and stuff. And then he got a part in Pumping Iron, which is like a documentary. And that was in the mid-70s. And then, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger got the biggest break when he got cast as the Terminator. And it started off the new breed of one-man action hero movies.
Yes, that was it for him. I mean, it's incredible. There are others that we could talk about as well. Julia Child, she was actually in Secret Service and intelligence, working in intelligence before she became a cook, of course, wrote her amazing cookbook and then went on to become a phenomenon. So many that come to mind as well. The reason that we're talking about it as well is because with the interview with Chef Morimoto and the Iron Chef himself, he wanted to be a baseball player, but then he got that injury. He couldn't do it, so he went on to become one of the world's biggest sushi chefs. So for him, he went on to open his restaurant in Hiroshima, and then he went to the US, and he was discovered from there for the Iron Chef show. So I asked him what it was like to be on the Iron Chef.
So that's a kind of a serious cooking battle. Not like the cooking show.
No.
No rule.
It's war.
And then, yes, and then, you know, of course that's taping. You know, 1 hour show, taping.
Yeah.
If I cut myself down and I burned myself, finished. I felt everything gone down. I forgot to do something. Done. Never do it again. Cut. Take two. No take two.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yes, this is a real. So
it's
live.
It's live.
Live. It's live. But the taping, but live. Cooking live. And it's serious. When I was the Iron Chef in Japan, that time, Challenger, if Challenger beat Iron Chef, this Challenger is going to be very famous. And then if he has business, or he going to have the, he or she going to have business, big. So that kind of power that program has.
That's huge.
Then a lot of people watching the audience want to be the chef like Iron Chef. Oh my God, oh my God. You know? So that's why we have to do honest and then powerful and then our best. You know what I mean? A lot of people or want to be the chef.
Of course.
Like Iron Chef. In United States, same. You know, Iron Chef America, a lot of people, a lot of kids want to be the chef like Morimoto or, you know, so Bobby Flay, that's fine. Thank you very much. So yeah. That's what I have to do.
What was your greatest challenge on the show? Against who and what was it?
Well, a lot of people asking the same thing, but I have nothing. I'm not cooking for challenger. I'm not cooking for, you know, cooking for the judges. I'm not cooking for audience. I'm cooking to myself. I challenge to myself. So any ingredient, same. Anybody come to challenge, same. But I didn't even know what the challenger made, the food. I didn't watch it. Yeah.
You didn't even watch it. You didn't see what was going on.
No.
You were focused on
my food.
Your food.
Yeah.
And you wanted it to be better than what you made last time and just better and better and better.
Yes, that's. And then you have a lot of experience. Yes, I have. Then you have an advantage. Yes, I have. But I do have more than 50 bottles or maybe close to 100 bottles between Japan and U.S. But okay, this is an advantage. Yes. But I can't make every time the same.
Yeah.
I gotta, as you say, better and better, better and better and better, better every single time. That's why I have a lot of pressures.
And up and up for you.
Yeah.
I've heard you say that your aim in designing a menu is making an impact from the first bite.
Right.
Tell me how you do that.
In Japan, okay, for example, we make soup. So experienced Japanese chef say, first bite, nothing impact, but eat whole thing, oh, good. I don't think so. First bite. If the first bite is not enough to taste, people say, taste blind.
Yeah. It's just, it's not enough to keep you going.
Right, right.
With the dish. Give me an example in one of your dishes, what kind of flavor combinations you are using to really make that impact.
Not just the taste, you know, presentation, coloring.
Because we eat with our eyes, don't we?
Yes. So first, you know, eye, smell. Taste and the sounds, ear.
The sound?
Of course.
How do you bring the sound in?
No, sizzling.
The sizzling sound.
Yes, and
and the chopping.
Chopping.
Your chopping sound.
So that's why, you know, my side, the so serving tables, you know, including customers.
Yeah, that's why it's table side service. Mm-hmm. And you're there, you are with the customer, you involve them in the experience.
Right. So I think the restaurant is going to be in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, movie theater.
It's whatever. A theater experience.
Yes.
Where you watch the chef.
Right. So how much I try to make the nice food, but the phone girl, the phone boy, what's up? What happened to you? What do you want? You know, this is not nice.
Yeah.
And you just, you know.
No, exactly.
Right. And then when you're coming in and then checking, you know, tables and then... So hostess and host, and not a smiley, not that, you know.
It's all about the experience.
Yes,
you want
yes.
The full experience, mm-hmm. start to finish, to be right. Really something to remember.
So food in the restaurant, I think only
30%. 30% is only the eating then, experience.
Okay, so a lot of people, 30%, oh, you're easy, huh? No. I'm the, you know, try my best from my bottom of the house for 30%. Another 76% is atmosphere, lighting, music, food, dining with.
The service,
everything put together.
And it makes that memorable experience that the customer takes away in their mind.
Right.
And you make sure that you have your eye on all of these things in all of your restaurants. You make sure that everything is right.
I try. That's why, you know.
From start to finish.
Yes. That's why I have the people who I can trust. Manager, assistant manager, server, chef. You know, the executive sous chef, the pan chef. So hiring is very important and the educating is very important.
Broadcasting from the Renaissance Downtown Hotel, Dubai, it's Business Unusual.
This is Dubai Today, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Welcome back to Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa. I've got Stuart Kennedy with me here as well, and we're broadcasting live from the Renaissance Downtown Dubai. Now, Bahad is another new restaurant to be opening here at Renaissance Downtown. Bahad, meaning spice in Arabic, is designed to awaken the senses senses and evoke a feeling of tradition in a contemporary Middle Eastern style brasserie. And it's located in an open plan kitchen where the team's dedicated live cooking stations and expertise form an integral part of the dining experience. And we've got with us chef de cuisine Mohannad Al-Shamali, originally from Syria. He's bringing years of extensive culinary experience in the UAE to this brand new signature restaurant, and not to mention spectacular sunset views. As well as that, we've got Director of Culinary Gilles Perrin here with us as well. Hello and welcome to you both.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. It's great to have you both. Gilles, I want to start with you. We are getting served, by the way, here, some beautiful dishes from Bihar. Gilles, I want to start with you in asking you about the culinary options, the offerings that we can expect to see here at Renaissance Downtown, particularly in bringing a chef like Chef Mohannad here.
Well, it has been extremely exciting journey since we started about 16 months ago. The first time I met Chef Mohannad was in June last year. It has, you know, we have been working very, very closely together, developing the menu, bringing dishes from Middle East. I mean, Mohannad will talk about more, but bringing equipment from Morocco, bringing equipment from Syria, bringing equipment from different parts of the region. And I'm actually happy to say that today Mohannad celebrates his first year anniversary with Renaissance.
So congratulations. Congratulations, Mohannad.
Thank you very much.
We've got a table full of delicious food here that we're going to be trying in just a moment. So what we've got in front of us is butter bean, feta and za'atar crushed flatbread. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So like just a minute, what Chef Gilles mentioned, when we met last year, I remember him say, okay, we need to have like Middle Eastern restaurant, or we need to be like really special. Okay, so we have like already almost like 1 year talking and exchange idea, and then he always, whenever he go and then see something, and then he come and tell me, you know, what do you think about this one? What do you think about this one? So that's like, and then we start to work together.
Because that's the thing. I mean, Middle Eastern restaurants are everywhere.
Exactly.
But this is something special. You wanted to bring something unique, which is what we're seeing in front of us here. What was your idea when you thought, okay, I'm going to make this different? How are you going to do it?
Okay, well, so example here, like we have butter beans. The butter beans, it, we call it like Bihar hummus, okay? We don't have a hummus as a dish, like appetizer, like all the Arabic restaurants.
Don't expect to find the usual
so,
here.
Yeah, exactly. And butter beans, you can find it like, obviously, the dry beans, we use for this one like two different type of beans, the big one and the small one. And then you find it in everywhere in the house. Like it's dry, you can keep it in your dry store. You can cook it like hot if you want with like stew style, or you can use it like what we do here in Bihar, like hummus, and then with butter beans, with like lavantin, za'atar, the fresh and the dry one, with the lovely bread, the salty bread. Actually, this bread, I remember when I was in the school, and then in the break, I ran outside to the bakery to buy this bread. So it's from my city. And then the oven, this bread, is close to my school. Mm. So every day I remember my school.
Getting it nice and hot from the bakery.
Yes.
That's authentic for you, isn't it? That's authentic.
Because that's what you're going for. You're going for authentic, and your inspiration comes from your mother's kitchen.
Definitely, yes. And then obviously been working in Dubai for 12 years. And then previously in Qubar and before in Atmosphere, Burj Khalifa, which is like French concept. So I'm trying to use all this technique and then my experience with like the European cuisine and Arabic was my mother recipes, and then that's what Bihar come from. The Bihar, Bihar is the spice. Mm. So we're trying to use all the this Bihar's, the freshly toast and the grounded, and then we use all this technique, like even the like cooking technique, like octopus here we have in the table. 5 years ago, there's nobody eating octopus. No, so we come up with like idea, okay, what about if we slow cook this octopus, and then we use this zook. The zook, actually, it's made from coriander, from chili. Caraway seeds, it's originally come from Algeria. It's Algerian sauce. So we come up with this nice dish of octopus.
It's just, it looks beautiful. It is something that we're going to start tucking into in just a moment. As well as that, we've got with us crispy soft shell crab sage.
Yes.
And garlic mayonnaise and harissa. Nice and hot.
Yes, the harissa, the Moroccan harissa, actually, it's very, very nice sauce. So the sage idea, we have in Bahar, big sage plate. All right, that's, you find it almost like in every house. We're in the Middle East. So instead of having this like manakish or like this traditional za'atar or cheese, and then we come up with the soft shell crab and say, okay, so what if we fry this soft shell and then we make it like nice wrap? It could be something like really cool.
Love it. Yeah, it looks beautiful. Stuart, you're already eating away. Tell us.
I was quiet, so you knew I was doing something naughty.
Exactly.
I'm having the bread and the butter bean and feta. It's really nice. It's definitely, for me, it's. I would normally have hummus, like you say, but the texture's, so I've got a whole mouthful here. The texture's quite the same, but it is a very zesty flavour to it. It's really, really nice.
Yeah, it's special, yeah. This is the things like about Bahar. We really wanted like people who come and eat in Bahar to remember our, I remember I ate something like a different, yes, it's Arabic restaurant, it's a Mediterranean restaurant or Middle East restaurant, but it got something like really special.
We're talking to Chef de Cuisine Mohamed Al-Shamali, who is heading up the new Bahar restaurant, as well as Gilles Perrin. He is the director of culinary here at the Renaissance downtown Dubai. We're going to get stuck into this food and report back on how fantastic it is. This is Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Broadcasting from the Renaissance Downtown Hotel, Dubai. It's business unusual.
This is Dubai Today, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
A bit more like the Thursday brunch here at the Renaissance Downtown Dubai. We've got a full table of food in front of us. Absolutely divine food. And these are selections from the new restaurant, Bahar, which is opening here at Renaissance Downtown Dubai. We've got with us the chef de cuisine, Mohamed Al-Shamali, who is originally from Syria, bringing years of extensive culinary experience to the UAE, to the Renaissance Downtown, as well as the Director of Culinary, Gilles Perrin. Now, Mohamed, we have gotten into the butter bean feta and za'atar crush, and we are constantly reminded that it is not hummus. You will not find the usual here at Bahar. It's beautifully fresh. I've just had some with the gorgeous flatbread there, and it really is stewy, isn't it? It just has a freshness about it.
It
pops in your mouth.
It definitely does, and it's a new sensation. It really is. It's a new sensation for me.
We soak it for a whole night. It's like normally the way how we do it, like, and then we cook it with vegetable stock for almost like two hours, and then we take the white butter beans and then we just blend it in the rococo with olive oil, and then after that we have the chunky one, the small one. It just like exactly cooked, not overcooked.
It gives the texture.
Exactly, that's how. And then we have the feta cheese as well, which gives you this salty, nice taste.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's really lovely. I've just been getting into the crispy, soft shell crab sage. You know, it's kind of a twist on the whole shawarma idea, except it's with the crab.
Definitely. This is the idea, yes. Instead of like having shawarma or any sage, we just like twist it with the crab. That's exactly Bahar. That's what is Bahar.
It's a twist.
Yes.
It's a twist on everything that you think you know about Middle Eastern cuisine. Stewie, have you had a chance to get into the dessert yet?
No, I'm waiting.
It. Why do you think? It's right there in front of you, and you're like, I need
the one plate that was pulled right next to me.
I think you wanted to try the octopus, no?
No. Sally's had the octopus. I'm going to have some of the potato, but I'm going to open up this. What is this? Is this strawberry?
This is
sweet milk.
Bastilla, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Explain what a bastilla is.
Bastilla is a very popular like dish in Morocco. So bastilla, obviously the break pastry. This one, the break pastry is the bastilla. And then you can do the way how you want. You can do it with quail, chicken, meat, or you can do it like use this way, like sweets or dessert if you want. So obviously the idea behind this dish for Bahar, it can be like seasoned. fruits, what we have in the market. So today you see it in strawberry, next you will see it maybe in different sweet with apple, or maybe with figs, or, you know, this different type, like, that's what we're gonna do it later on in Bahar.
Mm. I mean, this is so pretty. Now you've destroyed it, Stewie. But, you know, it's just, it's very delicate. It is, the pastry is so delicate. You've got the cream there, the strawberries, the flaked almonds. Go for it, Stewie.
I'm going in.
He is.
Yeah.
And he can't talk anymore. That just says it all. Yeah. But how beautiful is that?
Oh, my word.
We're going to get into that as
it's
well.
It's like five different layers of pastry. It's lovely.
It is. It's very delicate, though. It is a lot of layers, but you're going for a delicate flavor.
So, yes, the strawberry, because you have the strawberry jam also as well. So we make like strawberry puree, the apple custard here inside, and then there's the rose water as well. That's give you really, it's not strong. It just like to give you this nice flavor. And then you go with the almond, and then with the ice sugar in the tub. And it's just nice, beautiful.
So, thoughts, Stewie?
You know what? The way that the pastry is, because it's nice and thin, it just melts.
Melts
in your mouth.
In your mouth.
Lovely.
Oh, beautiful.
And I'll be busy for the next 10 minutes.
The cream
right.
there as well. But these are just some of the things that we can expect to see at Bahar. And the octopus, I had some of that earlier. It's with the chili zur in there as well. But it's just so soft. It's not something that you expect from an octopus. So usually it's, you know, a little bit tough.
Well, I mean, this octopus being cooked for 3 hours.
Slow cooked. And marinated.
And then marinated for like a whole night. And then we got like the Algerian zouk, which obviously coriander, chili, the caraway, salt, and then lemon juice. And obviously this is the Bahar version. Like this dish, like octopus, you have always this lemon. Mm-hmm. So you have to squeeze the lemon to give you this nice acid. That's one of the technique we use in Bahar. Like few dishes coming with lemon. Like another dish is coming with the salt, chili salt. That's one of the fusion.
And of course, you are famous for your sayadia.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So sayadia, obviously, it's old story in especially in Levantine. You go when especially with the sea, you know, where people go for fishing. Like so, the man will go out to fish some fish and then come give to his wife. Okay, so let's have some nice food. So she got the rice. Basically, it's rice cooked with like. Normal rice, the way how you cook it, and then was the fish. So obviously, this is the basic recipe. You have the rice and the fish. So in Bahar, we take it to different way. Obviously, we take it to the second or to the next level. That's what we're trying to do in the Middle East food. We got instead of normal fish, we got the black cod, marinate with berberis butter, with berberis spice. It's obviously around 27 spices mixed all together. We do it home.
What does that
Bahar.
Include? You've got 27 spices. Tell us about some of those spices included in there.
Yeah, you got coriander, cumin, cinnamon, all this Middle Eastern spice. We come up with a very nice recipe of Barbary butters.
It's just, you know, Middle Eastern food is all about the khalta.
Yes.
The mix. You know, you've got to get it right.
I mean, in Bahar, we have this khalta everywhere. Like, we have beef tartar spice. We have chicken liver spice. We have meatball spice. We got, like, the sayadia spice. We got it, like, we do it, like, home, locally. Everything, like, fresh.
You do it homemade at the restaurant. You do your own.
Yeah, we do our own.
Mm.
And then later on, we can have it if the guests ask for it, and then we can have it in a small jar as well.
Because it's like, you know, it can be difficult at home if you don't know the spices so well.
Yeah.
Bringing them together into that, you know, perfect combination. But you've got, you know, the years of experience behind you to know how just exactly that perfect combination.
Yeah. So we move on sayadia. So we marinate the fish for like two or three hours before service. This black cod, nice one. The juicy. Got some fat. And then... In European cuisine, they use something you call deglaze onion. So the white onion, when they cook it slow, and then they got all the sugar and get it like
the caramelization.
So that's where the sweets come. I take the fish bone, toast it like nice toast in the oven. I mix with this onion, with my spice, or let's say sayadia spice, blend it, get very nice thick sauce, full of flavor.
Because of the fish bones?
Yes, and the spice as well.
Wow.
And the lyonnaise onion where you get your sweets, the taste, and then we cook the rice with this sauce.
It sounds amazing. My mouth is watering. We've already got all this food in front of us, but that is something that I want to be trying as well.
Yes.
Oh, we've got with us here the chef de cuisine, Mohannad Al-Shamali, and he is heading up the new restaurant, Bahar. We're talking all about the spices today. Have you had your fill yet, Stuart?
I want to ask the guys very, very quickly, is this the basic size of the portion? Because these are really big portions.
It's sharing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, this is a lot of food.
It is. It's a lot of food.
So it's even better value.
It's brilliant. But we're going to keep talking to the guys. And we've got with us as well Gilles Perrin. He is the Director of Culinary at the Renaissance Downtown Dubai. Lots more coming up on Dubai Today on Dubai Eye 103.8 after this.
This is Dubai Today.
Broadcasting from the Renaissance Downtown Hotel, Dubai. It's business unusual.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
To Dubai Today, we are broadcasting live from Level 21 at the Club Lounge here at the Renaissance Downtown Hotel, Dubai. And we have still got with us here the chef de cuisine, Mohannad Al-Shamali, heading up the new Middle Eastern style brasserie, Bahar, as well as the director of culinary, Gilles Perrin. And Stuart Kennedy is still with me as well. Have we gotten over the food yet?
I'll stick around anywhere for free food, which is amazing.
It's not just the free food, it's the incredible quality of this gorgeous spread that we've got in front of us as well. Gilles, I want to come back to you now and ask you about the different restaurants that you've got here at the Renaissance Downtown, because my goodness, what a selection, really amazing, and it's something for everybody. But how do you go about choosing the chefs who are going to be heading up these restaurants? Morimoto, Mohannad, David Dwyer as well. I mean, incredible selection. How do you choose these people?
So the celebrity chef Morimoto and David Meyer were already selected, but the selection of the chef de cuisine basically was from my side and from Marriott's side. Mm. It's always an interesting process because basically, at a certain level, you don't do an interview anymore. You just have a discussion, and then suddenly something happens with your heart, and then it's just, that's the guy I want.
It's a connection, isn't
it? It's a connection
that you make with the food, with the chef, because it's as we know, Chef Mohannad, it's not just about the food. It is about the atmosphere. It is about the feeling that you get when you go to the restaurant.
Yeah.
And so tell us about the way that you've set up these restaurants, Gilles, in terms of live cooking stations, because it is food as theater.
It is. It is. All our restaurants are open kitchen restaurants, so you can see all the chef cooking. We don't hide anything. It's all in front of you. We can't, you know, microwave any product. It's fresh. I mean, you just heard Chef Moynan talking about his food. It's passionate. There's a lot of work behind, but we want people to see that. You know, we're going to have great product. We have selected our product already. It's just, you know, it needs to be seen. People like to see what's happening. People like chefs nowadays, and they like to see a kitchen.
Because the technique is so much fun to watch as well.
Yeah.
The grilling, you know, the fire going, the spices being added, the marinating, all of that. We want to see what's happening, the sizzling that is going on as well. I mean, tell us in Bahar.
Well, so when you, as soon as you enter the Bahar, and then first section will be like our mise en place or our product, like all the spice what we talk about. And then plus, like, we're going to make, like, some homemade pickles and jam. That's going to be first when you come in. It's like Mooney, we call it, like Mooney section. You know, and then you move forward, and then you can find this crop. And then a few months ago, chef was telling me, Mohannad, what is the blend for this sage? And then I told him, well, it's going to be used mostly for the sage stuff, and then maybe for lunch. But I'm not really sure. I'm not interested to do anything for dinner. And then he told me, just try, like, maybe you figure out about or any idea, because it's very nice, because in the corner, it has, like, whole station. If you can, like, activate it, could be, like, nice idea. So that was, like, few months ago. And then today, exactly this morning, and then I call him, Chef, can you come up? And then he come, and I told him, look, I find a way. So we're going to do this, the fryer section coming from here, especially the crop sage. So you will see in front of you when the sage, like, step by step, the way how you cook the bread, the way how you rub it, you make the sandwich, they cut it, and then send it to the guest. And then here we go.
And that's how you get people to see what's going on and be part of it.
Exactly. I mean, you mentioned about the interview and about choosing chefs. When I had interview, first interview was him. And then I was like, after we finished, and then I was like, I don't know, he didn't ask me any question about like what usually you do in the interview, like interview question. It was like normal chat, and then, but basically there's connection. Mm. We agree about everything. You know, he told me about his vision, what he wanted to do in Bahar, and then I felt like, whom? That's what I want to do. And then we just say, okay, and then we deal.
That's it.
That's it. Honestly.
This is a discussion we were having earlier because Chef Morimoto talks about the way that food brought his family together. It's why he became a chef as well. And, you know, this is exactly, Stewie, the same idea that the food, if it's good enough, it does bring you together. It brings that connection, and instantly, that's what you want people to come for.
Yeah, totally. I mean, also, with you talking about, like, the live cooking stations, I think now with the advent of all of these chef TV programs and things like Iron Chef, things like all these cooking shows, people have seen this sitting on their sofa. And when they go to a top restaurant and they can see it happening in front of them, it adds to the experience. You used the word theater. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's like they're being live watching their favorite program, but then they get to eat. They see the whole process. And I think that, I mean, a lot of people say you eat with your eyes.
You do.
And yeah, they've seen it from, they've seen it being created. And I think that's going to really add to the experience.
Yeah. I think if I have a picture of my grandfather in 1938 when he was a chef, which was on a second floor down of an hotel, no window, hidden. And now when you think of, and almost 100 years later, everything is open. We don't hide anything. Restaurant without a front kitchen doesn't really excite people anymore. You need more than just a plate and a glass. You need you know, this theater, this action, basically. Now you also have the...
It really is the entire experience. That's all important. But the theme today that we're talking about is Renaissance. It is about rebirth. It is about bringing something back to life, making it new again. This is kind of a lot of what you're doing, Chef Mohannad, here at Bahar. What are maybe the ideas, maybe even, that to see brought back again and maybe that you're bringing back in the restaurant?
So we had, back home in Syria, and then in my mother's kitchen, she always had the Syrian chili spice, the powder, and then she got the chili based.
The shatta is amazing, by the way.
Yes.
That's what Syrians are known for, the shatta. It's like the chili paste. Yeah. That's amazing.
That's, and then I remember back home in the winter time, especially in my city, my mom, she used to put the olives, the green olives, and then she reheated for us in something we call sobia, or that's something that we use back home. And the olive is warm. So obviously it's something like strange, and that's what we're doing in Bahar. And the first question asked me, chef, why you do this olives warm? And I told him, just something special. And it's actually nice, give you this warm, homey, you know, feeling.
Home feeling.
Yeah.
And that it's comfort food.
Yes.
It's
basically olives, green and black, and then we just marinate it with some za'atar, lemon, and then chili, and we just throw it in the sous vide machine, and come like really soft, nice, warm flavor.
So you warm it up, and it just becomes something that melts in your mouth.
Yeah, something like totally different.
And you've got the heat in there as well with the chilies?
Little bit touch, yeah.
A little touch of chili, yeah. Oh, we love that.
It's nice. It's cool.
So that's the taste that takes you back to your mother's cooking, your mother's kitchen.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Continuing on with our interview as well, when we spoke to Chef Morimoto, I've got to tell you, he had some very good words to say about you. He was incredibly impressed. He came round to your kitchen as part of the... Gilles, tell us what happened.
Now, basically, he came back in May for the first time to do a show called Navigator Table. That's going to be here sometime next week, I believe. Chef Moanan prepared a few dishes for that show. He really likes it. And then in July, we went with Charlie, our BNF director, to New York to meet Chef Morimoto to have some discussion about the restaurant and everything. And, you know, he really speak about, again, the dishes that Chef Mohamed put out. And last week when Chef Morimoto came, he basically straight away walked into Baja kitchen and said, show me, show me. So Chef Mohamed prepared a few dishes. And, yeah, it was just, you know, again, we talk about the chef connection, but it was purely a chef connection. There was no fuss. There was just, yeah, pure. Awesome.
And wasn't anything special about it. I mean, we cook Bahar food. And
what did you cook specifically? I want to ask you what you cooked for him.
Honestly, like, okay, there's no plan. We cook for him butter beans. You know, we did for him, like, kibinagi, beef tartare, you know. And then we give him this warm olives and the crudité, the raw vegetable. And he was like...
He loved it.
He loved it.
Because
yeah.
that's something that he specializes in, bringing together flavors from different cultures, bringing together different palates. And I know that he's on the lookout for what flavors he can take from Arabic cuisine to bring into his own Japanese. So I think you're going to have a bit of influence.
Well, he loved the plates, actually.
He loved the plates.
Yes.
Because, that's a presentation is a big thing for him, isn't it?
Yes.
And for you, no doubt, as well.
I mean, we did special order for Moroccan. Chef Jill did special order for Moroccan dish coming from Morocco. Mm-hmm. That's very, very nice.
Those ones.
Oh, beautiful. We are speaking to Chef de Cuisine Mohamed Al-Shamali and the Director of Culinary, Gilles Perrin, of the Renaissance Downtown Dubai. It's all this food, Stewie.
My mouth's stuck together with all this cream.
I've got to say,
strawberry.
I had some of the sweet milk bastilla with the strawberries and the almonds. It really does melt in your mouth. It is so beautiful. It reminds me a little bit. It has the delicacy of the baklava.
Baklava, yes.
But it is a lot softer as well.
Later on, we have something nice about baklava, special dish.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's bahar. It's bahar about like every 1 month or 2 months, there's some dishes coming up. So it's always when you come, you will still have your beautiful dish, which is like favorite, and you will have something new always.
Something new as well. Yeah. So you've got rotating dishes to keep people excited, to keep people interested in coming back.
Yeah.
Yes, so we are at table here at the Renaissance Downtown Dubai. Stuart Kennedy is with me. I'm Sally Musa, and this is Dubai Today on Dubai Eye 103.8. Dubai Today special broadcast from the Renaissance Downtown Dubai with me, Sally Musa, and Stuart Kennedy. We have with us Chef Mohamed from Bahar and the Director of Culinary here at the hotel, Gilles Perrin, with those new in the break. Something that I put to Chef, who is also by for the first time, and I asked him about the one rule that he will never break in the kitchen.
I've heard you say that you have only one rule, and that is no rule.
I do know that.
At all. Oh, I know things.
I can do whatever you want, whatever I want. You have to do this. No rule.
It's kind of interesting because, you know, you have learned the whole tradition of Japanese cooking, Japanese preparation.
Right.
And it's a very deep tradition, ancient tradition. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to see you say no rules.
So my life was the second stop was at New York. So that's why. And then...
New York is so open. Did it open you up?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Okay, so I have a technique, so deep foundation from a Japanese cooking style. Then I came to United States when I was 30 years old. So I tried to find out what kind of a palate, so where some people has it. And I worked in Japanese, of course, Japanese restaurants, right? But all the customer busy from American people, not the Japanese. I know Japanese how to get. I try to find how can I do this, whatever. Then if I go your territory, okay, French technique and Italian technique, Chinese technique, I can beat you, right? So I want to be number one. So that's why. So my technique plus your technique and your ingredients, your cultures. So that's I started making my own style from that.
because you were combining Japanese dishes with Western ingredients.
Yes.
What's the difference between the two palates, the Western palate and the Japanese palate?
And how can I make the Western ingredients to the, my territory? Not just the miso, soy sauce, wasabi.
And that's what makes you so special, because you do that. It's your signature that you're bringing these two very different palates together.
Very different. That's why, you know, a lot of people ask, what's the one word? Give me one word, your cooking style. Morimoto style.
It's unique. It is signature, your signature style. Right. But, I mean, a lot of people, they try to do fusion.
Right.
They try to bring two very different cuisines together. What's the secret? Why are you so successful at doing it? What? How do you know it's right?
So, I don't know if fusion is right, I know, like a word or not. But, so, this car, so sounds easy. Then, you know, people doesn't have the train and then educate, and the foundation for the food can come. Fusion, oh, looks easy. Oh, I can do this. Okay. So sushi, sashimi, whatever, put some dressing and then instead of soy sauce, oh, this is fusion, oh, new thing, you know. So it's not. People who has deep foundations can have the, like, a jumping, try to different world, different cuisine. But so that's why I don't do this. You know, every single restaurant I own different country, different cultures, and different territory, area. But so when, who going to work with me as a chef, the manager? If you work with me, you're the chef, what's your background? Well, I have a Spanish food. Oh, that's fine. So I have a Chinese food. You know, I have Italian food. That's fine. Deep. Have to be deep. Then
you have to have the foundation.
Yes,
you have to have
foundation.
The education, the understanding, deep understanding of the cuisine you're talking about.
And then Dubai, I'm very lucky. So I have a great chef. So his foundation is Spanish cuisine. Then Spanish, Arabic, very close to each other.
Yes.
And he's giving me a lot of inspire and different ideas. So everything, everybody different, you know, foundations, each restaurant. Then I create own style each other. So I want to be the conductor. Okay? So I can do little Spanish food, you know, French food, Italian food, but no more than him, because he has deep foundations, you know?
Mm.
So I respect whatever he say. Okay? I want to do this food here. This is my experience, my, you know, I want. What about your ideas? Oh, chef, why not do this? What about this? Okay, do this. So, light conducting, orchestra, light person, light position, light place. So that's what I'm doing.
He brings up a great point, doesn't he, Stewie? It's about having that deep background, that education, understanding the cuisine that you are bringing. Chef Mohamed, this is what you're doing. You're bringing together different flavors. But as he does, you have such a deep background, a deep tradition in Arabic food. You understand that, and you understand the flavors that you're bringing in. And that's central to what you're doing.
Yeah, actually, what he mentioned, obviously, like, right. Yes, 100% is right, and I agree. I mean, we see now a lot of restaurant opening with a new concept, new touch, new twist, a lot of things. What, like what he mentioned, I mean, mix harissa with mayonnaise, and then you got to, like, harissa mayonnaise, it doesn't make any sense, and then doesn't take your food anywhere, okay? What we do in Bahar, we keep the original recipe, the mother recipe. We have in the menu one sibas, it's tahina sibas, where we have it in Lebanon, in Syria. So all what we did, like, we take it to the next level, the way how we portion it, the way how we cook, we use sous vide machine to cook, all right, and then pan seared, and then put it under the salamander. That's when we take Bahar, you know, that's the using, like, the fresh, big sibas, like, coming from Europe. That's what is Bahar.
Mm.
You know? It's not about mixing, like, mayonnaise and harissa. It's totally different. You know, that's right. He was lucky, and then I'm actually lucky as well. I mean, when I 1 year ago, when I started with Chef, I was same. I mean, you cannot change my mind about anything. And every time we have challenge with him, and then I go crazy. Like, this guy, he never listened to me. He always, like,
Gilles.
Wanted to change. Yes.
Gilles,
and then, like, the way how he...
Sorry.
The way how he handled stuff, and then it's totally strange. And then now, after 1 year, he was correct. He changed me. I'm telling you. I'm not like this. I'm always like grumpy. This is my rule. This is what I want. This is need to be. No. It's not right. And then thank you, Dubai. And then thank you for chef as well. Yes, I'm not maybe flying around. I'm not going to meet another chefs, but here. He's already here.
Gilles, this is really important to you to push the chefs that you work with to try something new, to change, to go better. How do you do it?
Basically, is to challenge them. Is, you know,
just to be a pest.
Yeah.
just to keep going
just,
at it.
Just to make sure he's grumpy every single day.
So we've just heard on the interview that the chef feels like he's the conductor of an orchestra. So in that case, are you the conductor here?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
It's Gilles in this case.
No, it's the entire, you know, as we discuss, is I'm not here to teach him how to cook. I'm not here. He's a grown-up chef. He knows how to cook. But I'm here to bring him to the next level and to push him. Not only Moanan, but all our chef is really, what can you do better? And it goes from the chef de cuisine to the commis. It's not we're talking about all the chef de cuisine, but what's important is also is the, you know, the soldier.
It's the development of the whole team.
Exactly.
The whole team rise as one rather than just one person having the idea.
And then we are one team. We are not five different restaurants. We are Renaissance, basically.
And as well, Chef Mohamed, you're talking about the way that you present your food. It's really, it's Middle Eastern and Arab food for everybody.
Yes. So that's the basically, this is the idea behind Bahar, where like, we know, like, we are different, like, people, different culture. I mean, like, not everybody can find tahina nice taste, you know, not like same the way when I taste it or like Arab people. So I work out, like, in way, everybody come to this restaurant and eat and enjoy. It, like, place fit everybody in terms of the cooking, the cooking technique. We have sous vide, we have blanche, we're using all this technique. You know, in we have even some raw dishes like ceviche. You know, it's very like it's not new for Arabic like Arabic cuisine, but it's when you order like 5-6 dishes like sebas, octopus soup, bastia, the crab, butter beans, and then tagine all together, it really move you around the Middle East from Levantine to Morocco to Turkey. You know, that's what I want, like, or that's what we want to do really in Bahar.
Don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page for Dubai Eye 103.8, and you can see some of the gorgeous dishes that Chef Mohamed has presented us with today from Bahar. We will keep our conversation going with you, Chef, after the break. And we've got more coming from Chef Masaharu Morimoto. This is Dubai Today on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Broadcasting from the Renaissance Downtown Hotel, Dubai, it's Business Unusual.
This is Dubai Today, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yes, we're live from the Renaissance Downtown Dubai, and we are being waited on hand and foot, delighting in delicious cuisine from Bahar, the Middle Eastern Brasserie here, and another restaurant that has us waiting with bated breath is Morimoto, the Iron Chef. Only needs one name, as his singular approach, his creativity in being able to bring Chinese and Western palates together really is just unsurpassed. It really is responsible for making sushi popular in America. And when I interviewed him earlier, I asked him how he did it.
I think that my job is the entrance making wider. Even, you know, people who doesn't have any experience with raw fish, okay? So good example of my signature appetizer called tuna pizza.
Tuna pizza.
Since the day one, 2001, my original from Philadelphia. It's almost 16, 17 years my signature appetizer called tuna pizza, okay? Tuna pizza, we using the crispy tortilla dough, and then so on the top, slice the tuna on the top. Then red onion, black olives, jalapeno, and then baby cilantro. Then tomatoes. Sauce is the anchovy aioli. Okay, anchovy aioli, very popular. Caesar salad sauce.
Anchovy aioli.
Yes, Caesar salad, right? And then, you know, tortilla, tuna, and then all the stuff. And then looks pretty. No?
It has to look
beautiful. Yes, and then you doesn't even know. You don't even know, but you ate it. Chef, what is that? Raw tuna. Oh my God, I never had. Oh, this is good. Then make the entrance wider. You ate it. Next, I introduce sushi, sashimi, tempura, soba, yakitori. So that's what I do.
So you're just introducing people slowly to these flavors that they haven't experienced before.
Yes,
in such a way that they will understand slowly. And like you said, widening that entrance. I love that idea.
Yes.
And of course, you're going to be having a seasonal, ever-changing selection of traditional and innovative raw fish dishes.
Right.
In your restaurant.
And not just a raw fish, a cooked fish and then everything. And then I have a two restaurant in India. So I a lot of inspired from them. It's not spice.
From and India.
India fermented. Yeah. And then, little curry things. And I have in Bangkok. So I find out a different curry in between. And then I have a Mexico City. Another spicy food from them. Tacos, I got a lot of stuff.
You're getting inspiration from everywhere, which is brilliant.
Yes.
What's your impression of Dubai? How do you find the city?
Hot. Not a hot temperature and a hot, culture.
Hot temperature and hot culture. That's what I want to ask you about, because it's really a melting pot of 200 nationalities in this city. And I want to ask you, what interests you in cuisine? What are we going to be seeing in your Morimoto Dubai restaurant? Mm. Are you going to be having Arabic influences?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Definitely interested in Arabic, and how can I merge is my idea to Arabic from any ideas. That's why I'm trying to do this.
So if right now you're kind of formulating your inspiration,
yes,
your ideas for your menu.
Right.
And so what's caught your eye so far?
So far, everywhere I go, so they give me a bit dates.
Dates, yes. Could it be something that we see in your desserts,
Easy,
maybe?
Not just a dessert. Do you know teriyaki sauce?
Yes, teriyaki sauce.
So teriyaki sauce, sweet from sugar, and then I try to put the dates in it.
Oh.
A little more thick and deep,
Date teriyaki sauce.
I think so.
Maybe
yakitori sauce, that making sauce. Oh, and also some making puree, and then some, so I'm not just a, dessert.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what about the spices? Are you thinking of any particular spices that will feature in what you're doing?
So last time I was in India, I went to the spice market. So I think almost same here.
Yes.
Then I have lots of, ideas, different way. Not just a spice. So maybe decorations and then more. Do you know tempura? It's a tempura butter.
Yes.
Is it spicy tempura butter or
spicy tempura? I like
tempura
that.
Tempura butter, not the spicy sauce.
The batter.
Butter is colory from saffron and some different things, and then I saw the purple color from some leaves. That's the lot of interesting. Yeah, my hotel Renaissance had the Arabic restaurant called Bahar.
Yes.
So there, that chef is very talented. He is from Syria. So, and then I went to his restaurant to check the food tasting, and then he showed me lots of different ingredients and different cooking style.
There's so much to discover,
yes,
isn't there?
Yes.
It's really exciting.
Yeah.
We have that chef right here, Chef de Cuisine Mohannad, and that is Chef Masahari Morimoto talking about meeting you and coming to taste your food at Bahar. How does it feel to hear that?
I just want to tell you, first time I met Chef Morimoto was here when we did this navigation. So I really get confused. I couldn't understand. So I talk with Chef Jules. I don't understand this guy. Like, I don't really understand he's a little bit strange. I don't understand if he's happy, he's angry, I don't know. So I said, I don't know, let's see later. So when he wanted to come to Bahar, and then I was like, honestly, like, confused. How can I, like find a way how we can work? But he's totally different. I mean, he was, like, so nice. He's, like, got, like, this funny attitude. Like, he joked. He liked, take photo, enjoying.
He's very lighthearted, isn't he?
Yeah. And then I was, like, this time was, like, totally different. So I really enjoy. And then we start to cook together, and then he started to test, and then he was, like, wow.
Because, Stewie, we were saying off air how, he is one of the world's biggest chefs. There's no doubt about it. But there's no ego there.
It comes across in interview. It's like his humor, his I want to say life force is infectious.
Yes.
It brings you up.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, definitely. And you guys, Gilles and Mohamed, you felt that when you met him as well?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, contagious. You directly get into that. It took us a little bit of time. You know, you need to meet him, you need to gain his trust. But once this is done, then it's just awesome. It's a beautiful ride that we have all, you know, as a team all together.
And, you know, this is something that comes across in his food, his love of what he does, and the joy and the fun and the experimentation. That's what he's all about, just experimenting, making it interesting, making it great for the customers. And it's just something I know I'm really looking forward to here at the Renaissance.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, he's entrusting you with his name, you know. I mean, his restaurant here, it's his name. Yeah. So it's his reputation and that. So obviously the fact that he trusts you guys and everything is a big thing.
No pressure.
None at all. None at all. We've got with us Gilles Perrin. He is the director of culinary here at the Renaissance Downtown Hotel, plus chef de cuisine, Mohamed Al-Shamali of Bahar, loving that restaurant already. And we are discussing all of the wonderful offerings here at the Renaissance Downtown Hotel. I'm Sally Moore. I'm joined by Stuart Kennedy, and this is Dubai Today on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Broadcasting from the Renaissance Downtown Hotel, Dubai, it's business unusual.
This is Dubai Today, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I'm Sally Moussa. I'm joined by Stuart Kennedy, and I have been chatting with the Iron Chef himself, Chef Masaharu Morimoto, and asking him about the opening of his new restaurant, Morimoto Dubai, the latest in more than 13 restaurants that he's got around the world, which is incredibly exciting for the city. But do you know what, Stewie? Something that he's really known for are his knife skills. Absolutely incredible. And that is what I asked him about. How do you get to that point as a chef where you have such incredible knife skills?
You're known for your precision knife skills. I've seen you cut Japanese radish like it's paper. Amazing. And your julienne is like angel hair. And you do it so fast. What are the essential skills that you expect your chefs to know?
So that's, you say, you know, carving the radish like a paper, that's a very original technique. Yeah, when you join the Japanese cooking, of course you wash a dish, you know, clean up the floor and the delivery, and then you bussing and then, you know, running food and then serve the food. Then after that, so you can touch the vegetables and the fish, small fish. Then you better do, you know, you have to
do the hard work first.
Yes.
And then, I mean, how many years does it take to perfect these techniques?
Depends. I'm doing this job since when I was 18, which is 44 years.
You're going to be showcasing signature dishes, including innovative Japanese creations, sushi, teppanyaki desserts. And so what are you hoping to bring that's unique to Morimoto Dubai that we're not already seeing?
I already bringing Morimoto signature in center, okay? I told you already, tuna pizza, 10, 15.
We're going to see your signature dishes.
10, 15, 20. And then in Hawaii, you know, everything has to have some color, different palettes, so presentations. This is a very special facility, the teppanyaki. Yes, teppanyaki is, and then I have a restaurant in Tokyo, Roppongi, so teppanyaki and sushi restaurants. I used to own there, and then we have one Michelin star. So I brought the head chef from Tokyo, teppan chef, so two of them. Then we're going to serve a very nice special, you know, meat from Japan and from everywhere. And the seafood, lobster, and the abalone, and the shrimp from Mediterranean Europe, and then shellfish from maybe Paris, Italy, or you know, Turkish, or whatever. So I'm trying to give you a very special atmosphere at the teppan steak. I have maybe a couple of the teppanyaki course menu. I'm very excited here.
Yeah, nice.
Yes.
Really looking forward to that. I know that there are many young chefs who look up to you.
Mm.
What do you say to them? What's your advice to a young and upcoming chef?
Mm. So, you know, keep doing with love. If you like to, if you love to play baseball, you keep this one. If you hate somebody, say, oh, you have to, no. You keep doing and then keep loving it.
Keep doing it and keep loving it. Your restaurant, Morimoto Dubai, is going to be opening. We're incredibly excited for that.
Mm.
That was Chef Morimoto talking about his restaurant, which will be opening here at the Renaissance downtown. We are excited for it. But you just saw there, you just heard him talk about, again, just do it for the love. He's all about doing it for the love. Chef Mohannad and Gilles, this is something that you are here for as well.
Yes. Yes, I think if you don't put your passion, you will never feel, you know, we just experience a few dishes. But if you don't have a passion, you will never get what you have on this plate.
And you want to make sure that everybody comes to visit. I know we talk about the Renaissance downtown as a business hotel, but actually your restaurants are open to everybody. You want it to be accessible for everybody.
Yes, that's the whole idea of, you know, not going to those crazy prices. Not to restrict our restaurant to non-family or family or...
You're not saying no children allowed?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Bring your families, bring your kids.
Yeah, bring, enjoy, discover, you know, at the end discover what Chef Mohannad or Chef Morimoto is doing.
Oh, it's incredibly exciting. Yeah. If it's anything like the gorgeous food that we've been tasting today to go by, it is going to be absolutely wonderful. It is accessible for everybody. Families, bring them all in. But this is all there is to it, really. Just come to the Renaissance downtown Dubai. Stewie, I think you're going to be back.
Yeah, definitely. Experience something new. Oh. I mean, Dubai is one of these kind of places you can go out to a different restaurant, a different five-star restaurant every night of the year and still not go to the same place twice. When we've got places like that, like this opening here in the Renaissance, then try it. And then, like you said, family-friendly, a relaxed atmosphere, great food, great ambiance. What's not to love?
Oh, it's just brilliant. I can't wait. I can't wait for it to all be open. I want to thank Chef Mohannad Al-Shamali of Bahar. We'll be coming back for that, definitely, when
thank
it's open. And Gilles Perrin, the Director of Culinary at the Renaissance Downtown Hotel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brilliant stuff. Stewie, I did talk to Chef Morimoto, but I was not expecting this. He has... A lot of different interests and a lot of different talents. He wanted to be a baseball player. He was brilliant at that, but got an injury. But apparently, he's not too bad at holding a tune as well. Yeah. So at the end of the interview, he surprised us with a little bit of Japanese a cappella. I am Sally Musa, and this is Dubai Today, and we are going to leave you with this.
Nami no tanima ni inochi no hana ga 2つ並んで咲いている兄弟分は親父の肩は畳肩は古いが式には強い俺と兄貴のよ夢のゆりかごさ Thank you very much.
That's amazing.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.